Now we'll read from the New Testament and from Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke and the second chapter. And we're going to begin reading at verse 20. Luke 2, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his word. Now let's pray together. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we do bow before thee and seek thy blessing, and we praise thee for this day when we remember especially the birth of thy dear Son. And even now, Lord, as we come before thee, we do pray for those in any particular need today. We think of those who suffer in hospitals and in nursing homes and in various places, O Lord, where they are restricted. We think, O Lord, of the difficulty that people will have not seeing their families on this day. We pray thy blessing. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt make thyself known to many this day. Turn the hearts of those who suffer in the present pandemic because of the restrictions and even suffering some of the effects. We just pray, Lord, that thou wilt cause the hearts of men and women and young people to realize that there is a God in heaven who will judge the earth and will save sinners who call upon him. Bless us now as we study thy word together for a short time. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to consider together that passage which we've just read, Luke chapter 2, and the story of this man, Simeon. And our subject is receiving Christ. Receiving Christ. Matthew records the birth from the time of the pregnancy of Mary. Luke begins earlier with John the Baptist. Mark starts his gospel when Jesus was 30, doesn't deal with the birth at all. John in his gospel starts before the world began. He tells how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And one of the things John says is he came to his own people, but his own received him not, which sounds very depressing. But then he adds a little caveat. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Now Luke in chapter 2 records two very elderly people who did receive him. One was Simeon, and the other was a lady in her late 80s called Anna. And they rejoiced to see the baby, Jesus, and they believed in him. Chapter 2, verse 22 tells us the occasion. It was 8 days after Christmas Day. 8 days, more particularly, after the birth of the male child. And that was the set time when the child would be circumcised and a sacrifice would be offered. It could be a lamb or a calf, but for the poor, it was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And this was what Mary brought, Mary and Joseph, because Joseph and Mary were poor people. And they had a payment which was called a redemption fee, which was not to do with the redemption that the Lord Jesus would bring for us, but it was looking back to the days when the Passover, when the Jews came out of Egypt. Now, first thing we notice is the faith of Simeon. Simeon was not a priest or any sort of official Jewish leader. He was a layman, but he was a man who walked closely with the Lord. We're told certain things about him here. We're told that he was righteous and devout, one of the minority. There were some who trusted in the righteousness of another. Ironically, Simeon took up in his arms the one whose righteousness would cover him, the baby. When he grew to become the man, Jesus would die upon the cross, his blood would pay for Simeon's sins, and his righteousness would cover Simeon. So that was the righteousness that Simeon had. It was the righteousness that God already imputed to him. He was a righteous man, and he was devout. That means that he also practiced what he preached. He practiced and he lived a godly life. God viewed him as righteous. He was righteous in that he was the recipient of that gift of righteousness. He was devout in that he took his faith seriously and he lived for the service of his God. And then we're told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Here was a man, like many in Israel, who found the occupation of his country very tiresome and irksome. The Romans had come and taken over. It was very distasteful for the Jews. The conditions were very bad for them. And there were many people who would fit into this bracket of longing for some sort of consolation, some relief from the suffering. But for Simeon, it was more than that. They'd lost their political independence. They were ruled by an outrageously cruel king. But the religious leaders were hypocrites. It was all outward show. It was very worldly. It was all sad that the last of the true prophets who'd spoken the word of God was 400 years before this, Malachi. And it was like in the book of Samuel, Eli's day. There was the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It was rare. There was no open vision. Well, that was the consolation that Simeon was waiting for. Days when the religion, the worship of God would become real and meaningful again. But more than that, he was waiting for the consolation in the form of a person, because the Lord had promised that it would be through the birth of a Saviour. And it would be through the birth of a Saviour in Bethlehem. And it would be the birth of a child who would come into the world to save sinners. The Messiah, the Christ. Simeon had been given that word from God that he would not die before he saw this Lord Jesus Christ. There were many who were bitter and helpless and frustrated at the first of these things, the political scene, the reign of Herod, the occupation by the Romans. But a righteous, devout man, Simeon, looked for consolation, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was one of a few men and women who were not merely fed up with the Romans and the king. They saw through the emptiness of false religion. Simeon waited. He had the Old Testament promises that God would redeem his people. The Messiah was coming, and he wouldn't be a soldier or a military leader. He'd be a man of the Spirit of God. The consolation would come by true conversions, people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, turning to the Lord, a more spiritual worship, and true fellowship with the Lord. How could a gentle, spiritual man like Simeon maintain his faith? How could he continue to be faithful? Well, it was by waiting patiently for the consolation of Israel. The consolation came in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Simeon was waiting for him. The consolation came when thousands of Jews and Gentiles were converted and found what had invaded so many for centuries, but that was long after Simeon had died. He wasn't alone, but those truly saved men and women were not the majority. There was Anna, that we read of later in this chapter, Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, Joseph and Mary themselves. And in verse 38, where Anna speaks, she spoke of Christ to all them that looked for redemption. So there were those that looked for redemption, but they weren't the majority. Most were just fed up with having the Romans in their streets. Then we read a third thing about Simeon, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Things changed on the day of Pentecost, 33 years later. That was the day when the Holy Spirit regularly came to live within multitudes of people and filled them and gave them new spiritual life. But these few, they had the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't a majority thing. For most people, even the most sincere people, the Holy Spirit came and spoke to them but didn't live within them. We're told that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And the evidence is in verse 26, he revealed things unto him. The Holy Ghost came to the New Testament church. Jesus said in the upper room before the crucifixion, I will send him. He would be a new experience of the Holy Spirit. But this indwelling was something which would come in at the day of Pentecost. But Simeon was privileged. Beforehand, he wanted to see Israel consoled, the Messiah coming, as promised. And even though he was well advanced in years, he received the assurance from the Holy Ghost that he would live until he saw the Lord's Christ. And the Spirit, we're told in verse 27, led him to go into the temple at this time. And he began to pray. And we read his prayer. He took the child up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This was his prayer. He didn't just see the Messiah. He cradled in his arms the one who cradled the world. The Lord Jesus had been cradled in a manger, and now he was cradled by a stranger. As Simeon prays, his prayer ascends to the Father, but our prayers only reach the Father through Jesus the Son. So we have this marvellous picture, if we can imagine it, of a man, an elderly man, with a small baby in his arms, and his prayers reach God through that baby, because Christ is the only one. He's the mediator between God and man. We need him in order to be saved, in order to know that salvation, to trust in him and in the death that he would die upon the cross. Now let me depart in peace. I'm sure if Simeon died in the weeks following, as that may be so, he died a truly happy man. Lord, now let me come to thee, is what he's saying. According to thy word, that's the word of promise that he would live to see this day. And what Simeon's eyes had seen, he describes, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, there were people who saw the Lord Jesus later in his life, and they saw him heal the blind. They saw him heal the sick, touch lepers, and their leprosy departed from them, even raise the dead. And they didn't see salvation. They saw the miracles. They wondered at the things which were done. But so many didn't see the salvation. But this old man, he held in his arms the Saviour. And he saw the salvation. He saw what it was, who it was, that saved him and brought him into peace with God. Oh, that we might find that same salvation. He blessed God. That means he gave glory to God and attributed all praise to him for such mercy. And he says, now let me go. Now let me depart in peace. And as I say, if he died shortly after this, he died a truly happy man, according to the word of God. And he says, this salvation is for all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Oh, he had foresight. There weren't many Jews that had any time for the Gentiles, the non-Jews. How many Jews could actually say amen to Simeon's prayer? This child is a light to lighten the Gentiles. They wanted to destroy the Gentiles. They ignored them. The scum of the earth, dogs they called them. And the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon puts Jew and Gentile together and says, the day is coming when all will be one in Christ Jesus. And the number of Gentile Christians would in 33 years' time outnumber the number of true Jewish believers, especially when the Apostle Paul went out and started to visit the places in Asia, and many thousands of people were converted to Christ. Simeon saw it there in the temple. This child is a light to lighten the Gentiles. This message for Mary, thirdly, both blessed by Simeon, Mary and Joseph, now he addresses Mary because she would see her son die. The converting power of Christ, he speaks of. This child is set for the fall and the rising again of many. That's what happens when you're converted, when you're born again. You fall, you come down from your high and lofty place, your opinion of yourself, your view that you can save yourself. You come down and realize that you're helpless before the God of all the earth. And then you're raised as you trust in the Saviour, in his shed blood, in the wonderful atoning sacrifice, paying for your sins. You're raised. He says, your son will be one that is spoken against, and you will suffer the pain of seeing Jesus die, so painful, so significant a death. A sword shall pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's the continuation of the continuing power of the Saviour. A little light compared to us, Simeon had, but he's a great example. How we should love the Lord. How we should make sure that we're concerned about our salvation. And concerned, like Simeon, for the consolation of the Church of Christ. Simeon was among the first to receive Christ. And the carol says, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. May the Lord bless his word to us this day.